Thank you. All right, turn in your Bibles, if you would, this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew, chapter 25, in your Bibles, please. I'll be reading verses 14 through 28. You can follow with me in your Bible as I read these verses. Matthew, chapter 25, we'll begin reading at verse 14. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and thank you for this day that you've provided for us and this people that you have assembled here, my Lord, in your presence and in your place. Now I pray, my Father, that as we look into the word of God, that you, by your Holy Spirit, might open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of your people to receive your word with meekness. I pray, Heavenly Father, you might speak to the lost that they might be saved. I pray you'd magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people and save the lost. Guide us and direct us, challenge us and change us, convict us and comfort us. And Father, I just pray you would challenge us today. Lord, we love you for loving us. And we thank you and give you the glory for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. In order to be the right kind of Christian, a biblical Christian, an effective Christian, one must first have the right appreciation of his or her salvation, a right awareness of themselves, and the right attitude toward their responsibilities. Now, the following will be true of each one of you. Number one, you are a unique person. There's no one quite like you. Number two, you are in a unique position. There's no one that fills your shoes, no one that wears your clothes, no one that lives your life. You have a unique purpose. You're not a mistake. You're not a uh-oh. You are a person that has a purpose in God's plan. Amen. Next, you have been placed in a unique place, Erie, Pennsylvania. Each town, each city, and each village is different. But you're here. You will minister to a unique group of people. You will meet people that I will not meet. You will meet people that no one else will meet. You will meet people to whom you will be able to minister in a very unique way. Your church is a unique church. We cannot dare to be cookie cutter copies of each other. We can learn from each other, but we cannot be each other. And the biblical Christian must understand his or her privilege. Until a man or a woman understands the incredible and undeserved privilege it is to serve the King of Kings in the capacity that the King has chosen for him or her to serve, they will never serve biblically. You have to understand the privilege that you have in serving God. Never get over being saved. Never get over being called of God. Never get over being equipped by God. And never get over being used of God. Second placement. Not only have you been born for such a time as this, but you've been placed in such a place as this. God created you. He decided when and what would be the times in which He would use you. And He picked the place where He would put you and where He would use you. I have no doubt in my mind that my time is now. And Erie is my place. Whoever you are here this morning, this is your place. Accept it, own it, love it, and reach it. Walk the streets. Let the people see you and let the people hear you. Make friends of the merchants. Be generous. One of the blessings of staying somewhere for a while is that you start to meet people in the community and they get to know you. I remember not too long ago, it was in the summer, and I was out in a neighborhood, and I was walking through the neighborhood, and I heard some little kids say, "Hey, look, there's the preacher." I remember preaching in the park one time, and we had a PA system, and a lady came up. I didn't even know who she was, but she came up real quick with a stroller and her little baby in it. And she said, "I heard you preaching two blocks away." And I said to my baby, "Hey, that's our preacher." I never saw her before in my life. But I was her preacher. Because every week she'd hear me preaching on the corner. Not only do we have a privilege and a placement, but it should be our pleasure. You should find a pleasure to be a servant of the King of Kings. And you should be happy. In 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 8, of course, the Queen of Sheba came up to see Solomon, and he showed her all his stuff and all his glory and gave her all his wisdom. And there's one thing that really struck me about what impressed her. And this is what impressed her. She said, "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants." She had servants, but they weren't happy like Solomon's servants. She had handmaids, but they weren't happy like Solomon's. And then I remember Jesus saying this in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. He said, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." We serve a greater than Solomon. And therefore, we ought to be happy. Amen. Happy are thy men. Happy are thy servants. If you're not happy, you're not right. If you're a servant of a greater than Solomon, it should be a pleasure to serve him. I know that there are rough times and tough spots in life and in the ministry. I've had them too. There have been times where I wanted and I prayed for a transfer. But deep down in, I knew that this is where God wanted me. And as He carried me through time after time, I can honestly say it's been a pleasure serving Jesus. So having said all that, let me share with you my points of my message this morning that will help you to be as successful in your Christian life and in your Christian ministry. Number one, mind your mission. Mind your mission. John chapter 20, verse 21, "Then said Jesus to them again, 'Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you.'" Why are you here on planet Earth? What's your mission? You are no less a missionary than the man or the woman that goes to another country. Are there not sinners here that need to be saved? Are there not Christians here that need to be ministered to? Are there no sheep here that need to be encouraged? Are there no ministries here that need attention? Are there no new outreaches that need to be started? Your mission on earth and in life changed the day you received Christ as your Savior. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Before you were saved, your mission was you, me, my, and mine, right? But when you got saved, you got a new mission. And that mission is others. Jesus never lost sight of his mission. And Paul never lost sight of his mission. And neither should we. Look at our text, Matthew chapter 25. Look at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So these are his servants, right? And he made his servants stewards. Before this verse, in verse 14, they were just servants. But now he's made them stewards because he has given them responsibilities with his, the master's, goods. This was a privilege, wasn't it? It was a placement. Look at verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according as his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Do you see that phrase? According to his several ability. It takes the same grace of God to handle 1 talent as it does to handle 5. It takes the same grace of God to pastor a church of 10 as it does to pastor a church of 10,000. The same grace. Servants are purchased, are they not? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, the Bible says what? Know ye not that your body is not, it is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Did you hear that? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Who gave you your abilities? It said here that he gave each one according to his several ability. He gave 5 to the one guy because he had the ability to handle 5. He gave 2 to the other guy because he had the ability to handle 2, and 1 to the other guy. So who has given you your abilities? Your master has given you your abilities. Who gave you the talents or the resources that you have? Who gave those to you? Now be careful, because 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7 says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou did not receive it, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" Do you get the point? Everything you have, and everything you are, and everything you will have, and everything you will ever be is by the grace of God. People seem so proud these days. They're proud of their looks. They're proud of their voices. They're proud of their abilities. And this is all being proud about things we had no part in providing for ourselves. Well, you don't understand. I can sing like, who gave you that voice? Preacher, you don't understand. I've got a photographic memory. Who gave you that photographic memory? Preacher, you don't understand. No, I understand. everything you have, everything you are, everything you ever will have, everything you ever will be is by the grace of God. Amen. These servants did not give themselves their positions, nor did they provide for themselves the talents any more than you or I have. Right. You can enjoy life and enjoy your family and enjoy God's blessings here on this planet, but mind your mission. Don't forget why you're here. Number two, mind your money. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Whether you have a lot or a little, remember, it takes the same grace to handle one talent as it does to handle five. In this parable, there were two servants who were industrious and one servant who was indolent. The industrious servants were faithful, and the indolent servant was unfaithful. The faithful then were profitable, and the unfaithful were unprofitable. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." What were these men before? They were servants. But now they are stewards. Now they have responsibilities. Why? Because the master has given of his goods to them. Amen. And now they are stewards, caretakers, managers, if you will, of that which God has given to them. And now they have responsibilities. And their number one responsibility is to be faithful with what I've given you. Amen. I mean, whose money is it? It's God's money. But you have been given the responsibility of making wise decisions concerning it. Now listen, you might not make the same decision I would make. But then again, you're not responsible for my decision, and I'm not responsible for your decision. The two industrious servants made wise decisions. Now we don't know what each of them did to gain what they did, but it's probably most likely they did not do exactly the same thing. God gives you what he gives you because he knows that what he knows what you will do with it, and that's what he wants done with it, so he gave it to you. Did you follow that? God knows what you're going to do with it. And that's what he wants done with it, so that's why he gave it to you. There's something he gave you he didn't give me. Because I wouldn't do the same thing with it as you do. Whether it's a natural talent or a gift, or whether it's a spiritual gift, or whether it's money, or whether it's land, whatever. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible says, listen now, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. He knows what you have need of. Now, we always take that as, I have a need. I have a need in my life. I need this or I need that. But he also knows what you need to get done the job he wants you to get done. Doesn't he? He knows what you have need of. This guy, he needed five talents. This guy, he needed two talents. This other guy, he needed one talent. God knows what you need to get done what God wants you to get done. All of these servants had something in common. Number one, they had an equal outset. An equal outset. They all started out with the same. But you'll say to me, wait a minute, one had five, one had two, and one only got one. How can you say they started out the same? It's not the amount that each had. It's the amount that they had to handle. Do you understand? When he gave five to this guy, he's starting out with five. This guy's starting out with two. This guy's starting out with one. But they're all starting out according to their several ability. They're all equal on the outset. Follow along. They all had equal opportunity. They all had the freedom to gain as they saw fit. They could all just gone down to the bank and put it in a savings account. But each had the equal opportunity to do what they thought was best. Number three, they all had an equal outcome. They each received an outcome commensurate with their decisions, didn't they? This guy had five, he got five. This guy had two, he got two. This guy had one, he only got one. So they had equal outset. They all started off equally. They all had an equal opportunity to do whatever they wanted with whatever God had given them. And the outcome they received was commensurate with their decisions. If they made good decisions, they had an outcome, a good outcome. If they made bad decisions, they had a bad outcome. Dear Christian servant, you have been called to be faithful and thereby profitable to the Master. Everything has come from His hand. It might come through different channels, but it all comes from Him. And you are responsible for what you've done with it and what you will do with it. So He wants you to make wise decisions. He wants you to make wise investments. You know, we hear so much about investments in the world, but what about investments in the kingdom of God? You know, everybody's preparing for their retirement, right? Why do we do that? Well, we want to have something at the end, right? Are we preparing to have something at the end of this life? Not just the end of our working ability, but at the end of our life. Are we investing in eternity? Are we investing? Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Make wise investments. Make wise expenditures. Because when you do, you will build trust with men and favor with God. And be patient. You know, sometimes you have to wait for the stock market to go back up, right? You have to be patient. The first two decades of my ministry were very thin and challenging. The second two decades have been fatter and more rewarding. You have to have patience. If I made a judgment on today, based upon 1985 and what was happening, we wouldn't be here today. There has to be patience. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, ye shall reap if we faint not. That's a promise from God. Too many Christians run away or quit when the going gets tough or the seas get rough. Others give up just before the season of reaping, and then they have to start all over again. There's some storms you have to ride out. There's some mountains you have to climb. There's some winter winds you have to face. But be patient. Just keep investing. Make wise decisions. Number three, turn with me to Acts chapter 17, but keep your place here. Acts chapter 17. So we're minding our mission. Why are we here? We're minding our money. What are we doing with that which God has given us responsibility for? Where are our investments made? Are we making them both here and there, or just here? Number three, mind your manner. Acts chapter 17, verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Notice it says about Paul, as his manner was. What does that word manner mean? It means habit. It means his usual activity. It means that which he did on a regular basis. Paul regularly went where the people were to preach the gospel. Two different words with the same meaning are used of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 22, verse 39, it says about Jesus, and he came out and went, here it is, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. This is where the Lord Jesus went regularly. And you know what he did when he went there? He went there to pray. In Luke chapter 22, you'll find that to be the case. We find the Lord praying all through the Scripture, don't we? All through the New Testament. It was a habit of his. And it's a habit that we should have. Listen, do you have a Garden of Gethsemane? Do you have a Mount of Olives? Do you have a place where you are wont to go, that is your habit to go there to talk to God? You should. And is it your habit to talk to God? Now, some of you have a good habit to talk. But I wonder if you spend as much time talking to God as you do to everybody else. Here's the thing about God. When you go to talk to God, he never goes like this. When you talk to God, he never wishes you'd shut up. When you talk to God, he says, you know, I've heard this 1,000 times. He doesn't do that. You know why? Because he loves you more than I love you. And he loves you more than anybody in this room loves you. And he loves to hear from you. You know, in Luke 4:16, it says this about Jesus. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. That word custom means a habit. It means that which he did regularly. You know where you'd find Jesus on the Sabbath day? You'd find him in the synagogue. Why? Because that's what his custom was. He didn't just go once in a while. He didn't just go every now and then. It says that was his custom. On the Sabbath day, he was in the synagogue. This is where the Lord Jesus regularly went, to the house of God. In the Old Testament, the house of God was the synagogue. In the New Testament, the house of God is the church. It was a habit of the Lord Jesus, if you will, to go to church, and it should be ours as well, and I see that you're here. But is it a habit? Is it your custom? Is it what you want to do? I mean, when people say, you know, well, where is so-and-so? And if it's a Sunday morning, they ought to be able to say where you're at. Well, I tried calling. Well, don't try calling them on Sunday morning. Why? Because they're at church. And don't go visit them on Sunday night. Why? Because they're in church. Oh, yeah, and don't forget Wednesday night. Don't bother either. Why? They're in church. That's what Jesus went. It was his custom, his habit. It's what he did. So should we. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. He said, Timothy, you've known my manner of life. What is the way I live on a regular basis? The kind of life I live. And as with the want and the custom, our manner of life includes where we go and what we do and how we do it. That's part of our manner of life, isn't it? 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, lifestyle. What's your manner of life? Is your manner, is your custom to go to church? Are you want to be in prayer? Is your manner of life holiness, godliness, righteousness in this present world? 1 Peter 1:15, or 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Now the word communication here means companionship. And the word manners means way of life. So what's he saying here? It's important for the serious Christian to mind their manners, where they go, what they do, and who they hang with. Why? Because it'll affect your manner of life. Number four, and we're done with this one. Mind your own business. Look at Matthew chapter 25. We're back there again to our text, verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. There is a coming day of reckoning for all of God's servants. The word reckoneth here means to settle accounts. It means to go over the books. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. One of these days, you're going to stand before God with your little book, your little ledger of life. Let me see that. And he's going to open up that ledger of life, and he's going to make a reckoning. What'd you do? Let's see what you did. All right, now I gave you. Let's see. What'd you do with what I gave you? Wait a minute. I gave you a talent, there's only one talent in here. What happened? Why didn't you at least put it in the bank and get some interest on it? I gave you this talent. I gave you this gift. I gave you this ability. I gave you this spiritual gift. What did you do with it? A reckoning. One of these days, the Lord Jesus is coming back. Amen. And we will each give an account of the life, the resources, and the ministries he entrusted us with as his stewards. You need to have a vision for your life. For your life. What is the vision for your life? You need to have a vision for your ministry. What is the vision for your ministry? What is your ministry? Where do you see it going? What do you see it being and producing? You need to be going somewhere. And you need to be doing something for the kingdom of God as a servant, as a steward. Don't wander about like the children of Israel in the wilderness. And think big. Think big and ask big. You know, I was talking years ago with Curtis Hudson, and he told me about a story. He was on a plane, and he was sitting next to this man, and he started witnessing to the man, and I don't remember if the man got saved or he already saved, but that wasn't the part my ears heard. My ears heard the next part the most. The man pulled out a checkbook, and he said to Curtis Hudson, I'd like to make a donation to your ministry. How much would you like? And Curtis Hudson said, $25,000. And the man said, $25,000. Hand it to him. Curtis Hudson, he said, oh, man. He said, the Bible says, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. He said, I felt like I sat there next to the guy and went, $20,000. I know exactly how much I'm asking. If I ever sit next to a guy, I've got the amount right there in my brain. How much you want? I'll tell him right off the bat. He won't be able to afford it, but he'll know what I want.
Maybe he will. I don't know. But ask big and pray big. James 4, verses 2 and 3. Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. He's saying, first of all, you got to ask. Second of all, you have to ask right. What's your motivation in asking? So men will think that you did it or God did it. So that men will think you're great or God is great. So that men will praise you or praise God. To feather your nest or further his kingdom. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can get our eyes and our desires and our hearts off of our mission and onto someone else's mission. We're talking about minding your own business. John 21:21, Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? You know what Jesus said to him? What is that to thee? Follow me. In other words, Jesus is saying, none of your business. He's saying to Peter, that's not your business, Peter. Your business is to follow me. It doesn't matter what I asked that man to do. It only matters what I asked you to do. See, it doesn't really matter what God's asked me to do. It matters what God's asked you to do. Amen. Jesus said, follow me. Now, I'm following Jesus, and this is where he led me. Where's he leading you? What's your ministry? He placed you here. Do you think he made a mistake? I don't think so. I think you're supposed to be here. Now find out why. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You run your race, I'll run mine. You stay in your lane, I'll stay in mine. You worry about your reckoning, I'll worry about mine. You mind your own business, I'll mind my own business. 1 Peter 4:15 says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Mind your own business. If we're going to be serious, if we're going to be successful, and if we're going to be saluted as stewards, we must mind our mission. Remember why we're here. We must mind our money. Make sure we're making wise decisions and investing where it really matters. We need to mind our manners. What is our custom, our want, our manner of life? And we need to mind our own business, because that's the business we're going to answer for. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Dear Christian, perhaps this morning you've lost sight of your mission on planet Earth. You've lost sight of your mission here in Erie. Or you've lost sight of your mission here at Grace of Calvary. Have you been remiss in your financial decisions, your eternal investments, foolish in your spending habits? Are your manner of life commensurate with your mission and your asking with your master? Have you been minding your own business or meddling in other men's matters? Have you been concentrating on the mote in others' eyes while you miss completely the beam in your own? Maybe we need to come this morning and say, Lord, I don't know how long it's going to be till the master comes, but it was a long time, but he did come. He did come back. I want to be ready when you come to give a good reckoning of that which you put in my possession and in my responsibility. Perhaps you're here today, you've never been saved. The mission of the Lord Jesus Christ was you. That's right, you are the reason he came to earth. You are the reason he was born of a virgin. You are the reason he suffered on Calvary. And you are the reason he died and rose again. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus is the only one who can save you. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Luke said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's waiting for you to call. He's waiting for you to call upon him and ask him to be your Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe there's one person in this room this morning that would say, and be honest, that you're not saved, but you know you need to be saved and you'd like to be saved. And you want to ask Jesus to save you right there in your seat, in the privacy of your heart and mind. I'd just like to help you. Would you look up at me? And looking up at me, you're just simply saying, preacher, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need to be saved, and I know that Jesus is the only Savior. And I want to ask him to save me right now, right here, before it's too late. Anybody like that in our audience today? If you're watching or you're listening, please stop and take the time. Eternity depends on it. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy and love and grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for a Savior. Thank you for the Word of God that tells us the truth, shakes us up a little bit, steps on our toes, once in a while puts some aftershave on our face to remind us of things we need to take care of. I just pray, my Father, you'd speak to our hearts as we have our invitation. I pray you'd glorify yourself. Speak to hearts. We'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn. Our closing hymn is number 595. 595, if you'd take your hymn books, we'll sing together. Have your own way, Lord. Can you really say that? Maybe there's something in your life that he hasn't had his own way about. Why don't you bring it this morning and say, Lord, here it is. I've been holding back, but no longer. Something he wants you to change, but you haven't been willing to change it. Something he wants you to do, but you haven't been willing to do it. Somebody he's wanted you to witness to, but you haven't been willing to witness to them. Let's get it done before he comes, so we can have a good reckoning day. We're going to sing 595. If you need to be saved, I want you to come and meet me right in the front. I'll be happy to have someone talk to you. And you can know for sure you're going to heaven before you leave this place today. Let's sing.